Kraken! We're back. My name's TJ Esposito, Notorious X-Con. I'm live in the studio on Football Sunday. I got special guest attorney Mark Anthony Raimondo live in the studio. It's a special show. We got Judge live from the White House. What's cracking, Judge?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, big guy.
Oh, crap. I was going to say something really bad and hope that I wasn't on.
Oh, yeah. No, well, they got the dump button fired up for you, so don't sweat it.
Oh, okay. Fire it up.
So what's the deal? So this is a special show today, Judge. We opted to do a live show because we've got a very special guest, Mark Raimondo. Mark is the attorney who represented the accused baby stabber, Danielle Mayhew, this last week. And there's some very controversial stuff going on around that case.
Well, she's not an accused baby stabber. She's a convicted baby stabber. But I think what's caused all the notoriety is that Mark was able to negotiate with the district attorney a very, very favorable disposition. And the judge saw it clear to sentence the woman to felony probation and only sentenced her to 9 months, and she'd served eight. So in a sense, she gets out of jail pretty quickly. That's been I think the public has some sort of a misunderstanding of what happened. I think they believe that, I mean, some people were standing around patting this lady on the head saying, good job, you know. I don't think that's the case at all. And, you know, it's a situation where if you sentence her just on the, quote, mother stabs baby nine times, what's the sentence? You know, that's the game that you play in the, you know, when you're just trying to be outlandish about it. Isn't that about right, Mark?
Hey, Judge, how are you today?
Good.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of facts haven't been out there. Of course, a lot of facts we can't talk about on the open radio, but I think it's a lot of stuff's been taken out of context this week, and I'm happy to be here to set the record straight.
Good. Well, I've suffered through, I don't know, 25 years as a judge, and I've seen my colleagues pilloried for the amount of bail they set.
Sure.
Some years ago, one of the judges, a very, very respected judge, he set bail on some guy on a very serious case. He set bail at, but I think it was $250,000. And this guy was essentially indigent. He could have posted $1,000 bail, but the judge set it at $250,000. Again, no way in hell can the guy post the bail. But he was pilloried in the press for not setting higher bail. And that's just one of those things where the judges don't punish people by setting bail. That's not a function of bail. And the guy wasn't going to get out anyway. But what you have is, guy does horrible thing, judge sets, quote, low, unquote, bail. And then, and of course, the judges can never speak up for themselves. That's been very frustrating to me, but I understand the rule. I just find it sometimes frustrating. I think Judge Bramer right now is probably somewhat frustrated in his inability to tell the public what was the facts as he was looking at them.
Well, there was a good article this week, I think on Wednesday or Thursday, from the Bakersfield Californian supporting, you know, the ultimate finding of the situation, supporting the decision. You know, and my take on it is, I mean, as you know, Judge, as a criminal lawyer or any lawyer, you don't pick the judge. I mean, you get assigned to a certain courtroom on a certain day, and there are, you know, some variety or of different types of rulings you might get from one judge to another. But generally, I like to think, on this particular case, with all the facts that were available, that any rational judge, given the same set of facts, I think certainly would have reached the same conclusion. One piece of information that's been kind of overlooked is that, and I'm sure you can explain this better than I can, but it was an open plea for no more than 12 years, and then it went to probation for a review, and probation's an independent evaluator of all the facts and of the situation, and they recommended the lowest possible prison sentence, which would have been 6 years. And that was their independent review of the law, of my client's situation, of what had happened, and her prospects. And so what we were able to do successfully is put together a package for the judge and say, okay, the realistic maximum now is the low term of 6 years. Please give her one step less, and here's why. So we basically got just one step below what was already being recommended from the Kern County Probation Department.
Well, and I think something else that people's brain freezes up. I try this. I come down. I'm down here in San Diego, you know, because this is where my kids live. My kids with grandkids. The grandkids are the reason I'm down here. I can go without my own kids. I mean, I've seen them their whole lives. But anyway, I just ran it past my daughter, who's a counselor here at a local high school. And her brain froze up after I said mother stabs baby 9 times. I mean, she's got 2 little boys. And that's it. That was the last rational thought she had until I explained to her that this baby ultimately wasn't injured very well. It wasn't injured badly at all.
Correct.
I think he had a couple of stitches on one of the... I'm not saying that stabbing a baby is a good idea. What I'm saying is this was one of the factors that was pretty much misunderstood.
Sure.
And I think people get the idea that some judges are looking for excuses to be soft, or that they somehow or other encourage people to hurt children, which is just ludicrous. It doesn't make sense to me. But we're conditioned by, I think, the media in many cases. We're conditioned to believe that judges are too soft, largely because we're frustrated with a high crime rate. When we somehow or other blame the judges, heck, I'd like to have somebody take a long look at judges who sends everybody to jail where we don't have room in the jail when we have time to need to put somebody in. There's no room. And I'd like to go to the judge that puts everybody in jail who, let's say, I don't know, writes a $2 NSF check. Why did that person go to prison? You know,
sure. And you know, I think on this, like I said before, on this particular situation, you were accurate. The little baby is a girl. The injuries were very minor. It was unfortunately a couple stitches, but full recovery, out of the hospital in a couple of days. And then you add the factor, you know, my client had no record. And then the issue of the postpartum depression, which, you know, anybody who's experienced it, anybody who has family members have experienced that, it's a real disorder, a disorder that is screened. Every pregnant woman in America is screened for it. It's such a serious disorder. It's recognized around the world. Countries like Cuba, Venezuela, Argentina, they all recognize that this is a serious disorder. And the fact that my client had no record, the real issue in the case is, was the judge going to give her what probation wanted, which was the lowest possible prison sentence, or were they going to give her one chance at a very strict probation? And so...
Well, let's come back into it, guys. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got more In Chambers Live. We're in the studio. Chime in.
We should get lots of calls on this deal because I think Mark would welcome the opportunity to get into a discussion. I mean, you've also got the fact that this gal has been using methamphetamine, apparently lost a baby because of her use of methamphetamine.
So let's get into it, Judge.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
After the break.
Yes. Okay. 842-KERN. That's 842-5376. Now's your time to call in. We'll be right back right here in Chambers, only on KERN Radio News Talk 1180.
It's Scott Cox.
No, the polls are turning around for Gingrich because people don't think that Mitt Romney can beat Obama.
Weekday afternoons, 3 to 6. Right here on KERN Radio News Talk 1180.
Mauricio's Grill and Cantina would like to invite you to enjoy sipping on the best margaritas anywhere in Bakersfield with our extended happy hour from 3 to 9 p.m. every day. Voted Bakersfield's finest restaurant 2002 to 2009, and our customer service will show you exactly why. Stop in for great lunch specials like flautas or our famous fajitas, or bring the whole family for dinner and choose from a wide variety of delicious burrito, enchiladas, steak, chicken, pork, or shrimp specialties. Even the chips and salsa are the best in town. Mauricio's Grill and Cantina has 2 locations to serve you, 6401 White Lane or 10700 Rosedale Highway. Stop in from 3 to 9 p.m. for our fun-filled happy hour and great Mexican cuisine. Mauricio's Grill and Cantina, 6401 White Lane or 10700 Rosedale Highway. Extraordinary food and friendly atmosphere only at Mauricio's.
I think I've heard it all.
Rhonda Collins, TurboTax CPA.
I've been doing taxes for 25 years, and I've answered a lot of tax questions. I still do, right here at TurboTax. Say you're using TurboTax and you have a question. Well, you now get live one-on-one expert tax advice for free. Just pick up the phone or chat with us online to get the answers you need.
File today at TurboTax.com. Live tax advice service is free and subject to availability restrictions and change without notice. See TurboTax.com for details.
Dude, I can't believe you found these
these amazing seats!
I can't believe this many people came to my house for the big game!
It's probably because you got all this awesome pizza delivered!
Oh, it's not delivery! It's DiGiorno!
This is DiGiorno?
Yeah!
But why didn't you get us seats by the kitchen?
DiGiorno in the playoffs, a combination that'll make any house standing room only. For fresh baked taste during the big game, it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
Hey, that stage is blocking the TV!
It's for the halftime show! This is gonna be awesome!
Hi, folks. Dr. Lisa Faust and her staff at Faust Pharmacy would like to thank the thousands of new and existing Faust friends who entrust us with their health needs. Faust Pharmacy has grown tremendously the last few years by providing small-town customer service and by offering the services you've requested. You asked for expanded hours? You got them. Monday through Friday, 8 to 7, and 9 to 5 on Saturday. Free delivery to Bakersfield, Shafter, and Wasco. Free vitamins for children up to 12 years. Faust offers vaccinations and flu shots for the family. We specialize in compounding services for men and women's hormones, pediatric, veterinary, pain meds, weight loss, and also for our autistic patients. Faust Pharmacy offers the Healthy Heart Club every second Thursday and the Sweet Spot Diabetes class every fourth Thursday. Faust is fast. Faust is thorough. And we'd like you to become a Faust friend, too. We're at 3400 Callaway at Meacham. Or call 410-RX-RX, 410-7979. Like us on Facebook and at FaustPharmacy.com. Faust Pharmacy. We make getting better easy.
To find out what's cracking in Bakersfield and Kern County, call 842-KERN or 1-800-640-KERN. Now, back to In Chambers with the notorious ex-con T.J. Esposito and retired judge Frank Hoover on Kern Radio, News Talk 1180.
What's cracking? We're back, baby, right here in Chambers. We're live in the studio, 842-KERN. That's 842-5376. Very special guest. Right here live, Mark Anthony Raimondo, criminal defense attorney, represented the baby Steph Danielle Mayu. So, okay, here's the deal. It's you caught a little bit of attention by the media. I guess it's you know, all over national newspapers. I heard the other day on another not as great as our show radio show, the DA talking on the radio. And, you know, she was saying some things like, you know, we're real disappointed in the ruling. You know, we worked real hard. I'm not sure what the judge was thinking. Blah, 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 right? So, you know, I mean, so what's the deal? You know, this, the DA, I mean, you know, for a case where Lisa Green actually goes to the first court appearance, to the arraignment, you know, Lisa Green personally goes to the court appearance. You know, I would think that the DA would really be on top of this thing. You know, they'd be on it. They wouldn't be talking negative, probably not saying anything. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't really have much of a comment on their motivations or whatever. I was very fortunate to be able to negotiate away the life count. The first count was, of course, attempted murder. I had gotten some local doctors. I went to the kind of the DA's go-to doctor first, because he's very well respected, and had a good report on the situation, and that helped us get rid of the life count and then kind of take the final sentence out of the district attorney's hands, and we left it with the judge. I was, you know, the district attorney made their arguments. I think they looking back, they maybe have done something a little bit more serious if they wanted to put some more time into it. I don't know. I filed some stuff in writing. I didn't receive any responses in writing. I think it's always a difference for a judge. He'd like to see your argument a couple days before in writing. So mine was there, you know, a week before. I never received anything from the district attorney. So they had a lot of arguments kind of after the ruling, but there was really no arguments before the ruling.
Gotcha.
Well, Mark, isn't it, I thought you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
I mean, and a very perceptive job by eliminating that we bargained for X number of years, because I think my experience, and I've only been in the business for approximately 40 years, but my experience is that when you negotiate a disposition that's way down, you know, like a plea from this case, which started out with a lifetime, and you negotiate something that says maximum sentence of 2 years, you're going to get 2 years. I mean, that's what's going to happen. The probation looks at is, it's like, well, wait a minute, the DA has already ascertained that this case is, that's what it's worth. On the other hand, you had kind of an open plea. You pled guilty to this most serious charge.
No, the second most serious charge.
They dismissed the one, but you pled guilty to the most serious charge that was left.
Sure.
And you left the sentencing coming completely up to the court.
Well, you know, my feeling on it was I know how the law works, and I know how the probation department works, and there are statutorily, you know, every general felony or this kind of felony has three choices. Probation is the first choice, and three choices, low term, middle term, or upper term. And I know she had no prior criminal record. There was clear mental illness, as well as she pled in an early stage. I knew she had at least three things in her favor, so I was hoping the probation department would recommend the low term, and that's what they did. And so I didn't really feel 12 was ever a viable option. There would be no reason to give her the upper term. There was nothing aggravating about this case. I mean, the crime itself is aggravating enough. So I felt on paper she would be somewhere between a low term and a midterm recommendation, and then we work from there. And so that was my strategy, and luckily for Ms. Melo, it paid off.
So, well, again, I thought it was perceptive.
So, and I want to talk about, this postpartum depression and, you know, not really specifically about your case, but
sure.
Just in general, the dynamics of it. Because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, there's still people holding signs in front of the courthouse.
Yeah, they're out there on Friday.
So let's talk about, let's explain a little bit about the postpartum depression and, you know, how serious it is.
Well, I think, you know, all three of us are guys, first of all, and we don't really can ever fully understand the chemistry that would go on inside of a birthing mother. But we all have wives. We all have wives that either have babies or are about to have babies, like my wife. And, you know, it's a very serious disorder. It's not something that's, you know, locally in California. It's something that's been recognized now for about 40 or 50 years. It's recognized around the world. And what happens to women who experience it, it's a lot of they're very lethargic, no energy, feeling like they extremely sad. And you take that situation and you mix it in. If you have more abuse going on in the household, physical, mental, or verbal abuse, it could be catastrophic.
Well, Mark, and we should understand that a woman who is affected by postpartum depression is not necessarily your panty waist. This happens to women who,
sure.
Throughout the spectrum of personalities, they're very, very strong, go out there and, you know, stand up and fight it in the face kind of ladies, and ladies who are a little more quiet and you know what I'm talking about.
And I think
this is across the board, every type of woman, every sex, every color. I mean, not every sex, but every color and shape.
Sure.
Is affected by this. It is kind of a chemical lottery.
I think it's one of the reasons why, like I said earlier, every single woman in America, when they go to the hospital or their gynecologist and they're pregnant, they are screened for this disorder. Because with the disorder comes a lot of shame. I mean, here they are, they're giving birth. Everybody that they can imagine is thrilled. The grandma, the parents, the other siblings, everyone is just thrilled. And here you are, you're depressed and you don't understand, you feel a certain amount of shame to even mention it. And I know, like in my particular situation, for Ms. Meadow, she had reached out for help. She had notified a number of her family members that she felt like she was falling apart, and basically she was told to, you know, quiet down and you don't want to go get locked away, and she was basically ignored, and it happens to a lot of women that way. And I would...
Well, women have always had to carry a heavier burden than men. It's just a damn tragedy in this society that we put so much on women, and then when this happens, we further put them in a corner where how can a woman who is supposed to be blessed and having done the greatest thing on the planet, how can you be upset about that? There must be something wrong with you.
Exactly.
And I think that's just, we've had that for a number of things, not just postpartum
sure.
depression. Women get burdened with, stuff forever.
Is there some kind of a cure for postpartum depression? Is she able to be rehabilitated? Or
sure.
Well, it's a chemical thing, TJ, and in a lot of cases it will simply abate of its own. And there are medications that deal with the chemistry while the chemistry is out of whack. It's mostly just a situation. She's had another full set of chemical hormones. She's had a full set inside of her for 9 months, and her body has somehow had to deal with that, and her body is basically programmed to not cause trouble to the fetus, and so it doesn't. But when the fetus leaves and there's no more competing hormone set, then sometimes her hormones react wildly to the absence of the fetus, and it causes sometimes it causes postpartum depression.
Sure, and I think the real crucial moment is while it's going on that it's recognized. And so these women don't reach out for another substance to either cheer themselves up or keep up with the demands of a new baby and their husband and whatever else going on in their life. They don't reach out to illegal substances. And so during that window of opportunity when treatment would be most helpful, it's important that their husbands and their friends all recognize that this is a potential disorder. They get there's a big center in Los Angeles called the Postpartum Health Center. They provide some very synthetic medications that can keep their spirits up and ride out this time period.
So what's the next step for Danielle? She has to go to some kind of rehabilitation center?
Sure.
Something?
You know, I mean, when you look at it at the end of the day, the judge had a choice to send her away for about 5 years, according to probation, or give her a very structured sentence. And so she's going to finish up her jail time. We're very optimistic. We have a residential lockdown facility she'll be going to for a year. She'll be taking some parenting classes and things like that. She has a number of hoops to jump through. The court's going to monitor her progress personally, and we'll be back every couple months to see her progress. And step by step, we're hoping to get her back into society.
Well,
now,
Judge
and Mark, if she doesn't. Oh gosh, I lost my train of thought, and it was the caboose in the first place. But let's just move on.
We're going to take a break, big guy. We come back. It's 12:30. We've got two more segments before the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We're going to get into more of this, these cases, and the difference between postpartum, reasonable insanity.
Let's talk about insanity and diminished capacity and how they relate to the law.
Yeah, that's correct. Oh. All right.
Okay.
Very good. Anyway, stay tuned. We're going straight ahead right here in Chambers, only on Kern Radio. News Talk 1180.
Listen, learn, laugh till it hurts. It's Scott Cox.
As the great Happy Gilmore once said, talk about your all-time backfires. ABC News goes out. They're looking for something to beat up Newt going into the South Carolina primary. So they find a disgruntled ex-wife, and they get her to say some bad stuff. Then they launch it right during the debate, and guess what? To a person, nobody cares.
It's the Scott Cox Show, live and local, weekday afternoons, 3 to 6. Right here on Kern Radio, News Talk 1180.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. So what does it take to sell your home fast and for the most money in Bakersfield? Lori McCarty of Coldwell Banker has a system for attracting buyers that's so effective, she can guarantee to sell your home at a price and a deadline that you agree to, or she'll have it bought for cash. Now, how does she do this? It's simple. Now, the average realtor in Bakersfield sells less than 10 homes a year and attracts a handful of buyers a month. Lori McCarty spends thousands of dollars and attracts hundreds of buyers every month, which creates demand for her homes and helps sell them within weeks, not months, for top dollar. Now, you risk nothing, since if at any point you're not happy, Lori McCarty lets you fire her and pay nothing. Now, the phone call is easy. Not knowing your options or getting bad advice, well, that can cost a small fortune. Call Lori McCarty today at 665-SOLD. That's 665-SOLD. Or get a free home evaluation at themccartygroup.com. That website again is themccartygroup.com.
Make us an offer. We're overstocked. We have too many carpet remnants and short rolls that will look a lot better in your home than in our warehouse. Doing a living room, den, or bedroom is not as expensive as you think when you shop at the Carpet Cave. Mention 1180 Kern News Talk for even more aggressive pricing.
Modern day floors at prehistoric prices.
Carpet Cave.
These prices are like a going out of business sale. We want to turn our inventory. Our loss is your gain. Make us an offer. Our inventory and selection is massive. Mention 1180 Kern News Talk and receive even deeper discounts. 101 West Sumner, just one block east of Golden State.
Modern day floors at prehistoric prices.
Carpet Cave.
Hi, Hi, this is Arnold. I told you I'll be back, and my first stop will be John's Burger, or a Macho Burger, or a Goliath, or a Breakfast Burrito. I miss John's Burger so much.
Hey, it's Bill. You know John's Burgers has shakes made from real ice cream, but did you know they also have Oreo cookie, horchata, pineapple, and mocha for the coffee lovers? I'm going to inhale one of John's Burgers right now.
Where do you turn when you need help? Have you considered turning to a spiritual healer? Hear what goes on in the life of one such healer, and hear how spiritual healing works, how it solves problems, on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel radio edition can be heard every Sunday morning at 8, right here on Curren Radio, News Talk 1180. You can also listen online at currenradio.com. What's crackin' Bakersfield? It's In Chambers with the ex-con and retired judge. Be a part of the show at 842-KERN or 1-800-640-KERN. Once again, here's TJ and the judge on Curren Radio, News Talk 1180.
What's crackin'? We're back. We're live in the studio. My name's TJ Esposito, Notorious Ex-Con. We're live special guest today, Mark Anthony Raimondo.
Hey, guys.
Judge Hoover, live from the White House. What's crackin', Judge?
Hey,
listen, Judge, I just, you know, I was talking to Mark at the break, and you know, I was kind of, I got to be honest, I was one of those guys was like, you know, this lady should probably fry for this, you know. But Mark was explaining, you know,
TJ, what a long way you've come.
Well, look, people
A couple
have,
years ago, wasn't I your lawyer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and you know, so we're talking about, you know, that's the same thing they said about me, you know. I mean, you know, people have...
He didn't mind, Judge, when I got him off.
Yeah, well with given the opportunity...
He didn't mind at all.
I think with given the opportunity, especially when your life has flashed before your eyes, you know, with given the opportunity, I think people can make a change, and I think... you know, maybe this girl's got, you know, her own issues, man, for the rest of her life that's going to haunt her. You know, maybe this is the best thing that could have happened.
Well, Judge, I want to ask you a
question.
You
know, I remember when this case first, before Mark was involved, and we know Mark and we worked with Mark, but before Mark was involved in this case, when it happened, TGA, I happen to know, is absolutely hateful towards anybody that hurts kids. He is a steam engine. And he was ready, I mean, he would have gone in the cell and just wiped the floor with this gal just on the basis that she hurt a kid. Now, and that's, I think, their first reaction. You can't have a positive reaction to mother stabs child nine times. It just, you can't get a positive reaction to that.
Well, Judge, but I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was part of my argument and part of my position was, I've never been a judge, but from your position, I would think one of the most important decisions any judge could make is when is it time to send someone to prison for the first time? Because once you go on that route, whether it's for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, it's a fundamental difference not only in the current generation, the next generation, their lives, their family lives. And part of my position on this particular case was, you know, her entire family says this person deserves another opportunity. And if you think about it, they all were victims as well. I mean, they're all related to the baby, to the father, the grandmother, the aunt, the uncle, the niece, the cousin. And everybody was completely on my client's side. So, but back to the issue, I mean, how serious did you take it when it was time to send someone to prison for the first time?
Well, Mark, first of all, I knew that if I sentenced a person to prison, then, and I, you see, I've been in this business for 40 years, and I assume they're coming back, you know. So I know if I sentence somebody to prison, then that's the last time they're ever going to be given a chance with probation. I don't necessarily think prisons do any good except just warehouse people for a certain amount of time, and it's not near as enough time if the crime deserves it. Cutting the sentence immediately in half is just almost a joke. So I did consider that greatly. Now, there's a couple of things that are realities. One, judges do not ordinarily confront people the first time when they're talking about a serious crime. When you got a person who could go to prison, you're not usually talking about someone that's never been in trouble before. So you know, that's the, you know, that's a consideration. And, you know, if you have a drug addict kind of a person, they are never sent to prison the first time, unless it's a mandatory minimum. We don't have too many of those. So, but when it would finally come time to sentence somebody to prison, I still hesitated quite frequently because that's the every other sentence would be prison for the rest of this guy's life. And I didn't think that prison is necessarily a great alternative. But on the other hand, here you have a person that's been in jail or probation several times. So you get to the point where you don't know, you know, there is no right decision. There's just the best of the bad ones. Sure. When you're talking about,
And that's always my position with my clients of the court is, you know, prison should be, unless there's a, you know, heinous crime or something, should be the last resort. If there's any way we can get this person rehabilitated, it's a lot better for society, for our economy, for the next generation as a whole. I mean, prison does absolutely nothing with the mentally ill, does absolutely nothing with drug addicts or drug addictions, alcoholism, domestic violence abusers. I mean, all you do is you house them for a certain period of time, you make them that much worse, that much less employable, and it's a system that feeds upon itself.
Well, you do appreciate, or I appreciate, that there are people whose behavior almost cries out for some kind of punishment. They're just people who kind of flip their nose at every convention society offers them, and you kind of want to rise up and say, "Hey, pal, you know, you just didn't get it. You haven't got it. So I'm going to put you in prison so you get it." Well, if you've been doing that as I have for thousands of years, then you realize that the prison sentence is essentially a punishment to the whole culture. You don't punish this guy so bad. His life is already kind of a screwed up mess. You're just inconveniencing him for a very short period of time. But again, as you mentioned, he'll never get a job. But he probably wouldn't anyway, but he's not going to get one for sure. He's going to take up a prison bid, which, as we understand, is very, very valuable. They're going to have to make room for him. I'm telling you, these jails and prisons are like those golf ball practice tubes. You know, you walk around and after you've hit your balls, you put this little tube over them and they'll, you know, put them up in the bag on top. Well, sooner or later, you're going to have a full tube. And everybody that goes in the bottom is going to kick one out the top.
Sure.
And so you get to it's a never-ending revolving door. So we need to develop a better approach towards crimes for which there is no good answer, and a lot of those would be the crimes that involve relationships.
Sure.
You know,
and I think the
best violence.
What I try to do for my clients is I try to give the judge a full picture of what we plan to do on probation in this particular situation, the rehab program. The local doctor I mentioned earlier was willing to give Ms. Malo one free year of his psychotherapy. I've never seen that offer from any local doctor. We had everything set up to show the judge, hey, we're going to have her in a structured environment with a very short leash, and she's worth one opportunity. And I think, you know, given the judge that option, like I said earlier, I think any rational judge in the same situation would have given my client probation in this situation.
Yeah, let's talk about...
I'm not sure of that. Mark.
Hey,
Judge? I can tell you that...
Oh, sorry. I was going to ask you a question.
You're going to cut me off?
No, go ahead.
I'm in San Diego. Go ahead. I can't hit you now.
I got you, man. I
was just going to point out to Mark that that's a great approach to tell the judge how you're going to handle the responsibility of probation, and the fact that the attorney is going to participate is a great, great addition. Because lawyers don't deliberately lie to the judges. They don't. But I would listen to that differently, Mark, if you were still in the public defender's office, because I would know that your time was so compressed. You had so many people. You might be in Delano next month. So the fact that you're a private lawyer and you can make up your own rules for your own time, and that means more to me. Not that you were ever lying before, but that you would at least have the ability to make arrangements to deal with this lady and have her come to your office or have your staff contact her, whereas a public defender, you just have 10,000 things to do at the same time.
Exactly.
Hey, Judge, I want to talk about, and we've got a couple of minutes before our next break, but I want to talk about the judge's decision. With this decision, you know, giving her the felony probation. Basically, you know, he's really stepped out on a limb for what he thinks is right. Now, I wanted to specifically ask you, because that's kind of something that you did for a long time. You know, despite what everyone thinks or what everybody's doing, you kind of, you know, made an educated decision and did what you believed. So, you know, I wanted to get your take on Judge Bremer's decision.
Well, I think, first of all, I've learned through trial, and I mean, just for the years, that judges have a reason for doing what they're doing. There's very few of these people that are just out there rolling the dice, and they're going to sentence whatever comes up. It just, you've got very serious people doing very serious stuff, and you have to have a certain amount of, you know, wit or intelligence or something before they make you a judge. And so you start with the assumption that you're dealing with a smart person who knows a lot about stuff, who knows more than everybody about this case, except the person who did it. He's got all the benefit of the police reports, the prosecutor, the probation officer, the defense attorney like Mark telling him stuff. So the judge is in the best position to know what's the reasonable alternative. And again, here in Bakersfield, you do not have a bunch of fly-by-night drifters on the bench. You've got a bunch of very serious people doing very serious stuff. So I'm hesitant to criticize the judge without knowing exactly the same things that he knows. Plus, it's his job to do that. That's what he's supposed to do. And I hope that the public doesn't think judges are supposed to just go out there and maximum John everybody, because that's silly. That's not the system we have. People don't understand, we have a three-branch government. We have an executive branch, a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. And I hear these people so mad at the judicial branch, it's as though they want to eliminate the independence of judge, and then you end up with nothing. You got a system that's run entirely by politicians.
Right, which is a major problem, by the way. You know how I feel about that. Anyway, Judge, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's take some phone calls. 842-KERN, that's 842-5376. If you're calling from out of town, it's 1-800-640-KERN. We'll be right back. We're live in the studio with special guest attorney Mark Anthony Raimondo, the judge, the ex-con, on and cracking, right here on KERN Radio, News Talk 1180.